this is really the reason for my sermon today. I think it will help us learn more about God's grace, what He's provided for us. So first of all, this morning, we need to find out how God's grace helps the sinner, those who are outside of Christ. And we need to also find out how it helps them to understand what they must do in order to be forgiven and have salvation. Secondly, we need to understand how God's grace helps the Christian, those who are in Christ. Help them to know that they can be forgiven when they sin and fall short of God's expectation of them. Thirdly, we need to understand that there are some things that God's word will do for man. Also, there are some things that God's grace will not do for men. So we understand by that there are things that God will do for man to help him to know his word and understand what he must do to be saved. But before we go further in this lesson today, I believe that we need to define the word grace. Well, Webster defines the word grace as the love and favor that God shows towards mankind. And in the Greek language, it means a trust faith. It means reliability. It means something that we can trust. Now, really, this word grace is also used over 130 times in the New Testament alone. Before I start this lesson today, I want to ask each one of you a question. I want you to answer this in your own mind. I just want you to think about this. Have you ever seriously thought about God's grace and what it has done for you in your life? Think about that for a minute. Well, I think maybe it's time for all of us to think about this and to find out just how God's grace helps us who are Christians to live our life while we're here on this earth. Now, first of all, the scriptures, they teach us how God's grace has provided for us His Son, Jesus Christ. Because in Romans 8:32, the Bible says that God spared not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. Number two, God's grace has also provided for us the gospel, the news that we can be saved. Number three, God's grace has provided for us for the remission of our sins. We can know that our sins are forgiven. Number four, God's grace has provided for us the church, the called out. Number five, God's grace has provided for us the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses all of us from our sins. Number six, His grace provides strength for Christians when they need help in their time of trouble. Number seven, His grace will also provide an abundant life for all of those children who are His. Number eight, God's grace will provide eternal life for those who obey His word and are willing to live their life for Him. Now, surely we can see God once again proving His love for man by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And when you think about this, Jesus did this even though He was equal to His Father, Romans 5:5. But we see God once again proving His love for mankind, because there was no person, there was no power above Him that made Him do this. He did this freely. Folks, He did this because He is of His love for each one of us. And He really wants us to all to be saved and have salvation. Now, the scriptures teach us that after man sinned, he fell away from God, that he became very weak, very sinful, and he really did not like to retain God in his life. And even though man was dead in trespasses and sins, God, through his love and grace and mercy, he was making it possible for man to be saved by his plan of redemption. Now, when we consider man's condition at that time of being separated from God by his sins, we can see that he was in no position to bargain with God. And we can see that man's salvation was made available only through God's divine grace and love. You ever thought about this? God could have given up on man. He had a lot of problems with him from the very beginning. But in spite of his actions and his sins, he still loved man, and he still wanted him to be saved. Now, in Galatians 1 and 4, the Bible says that our Lord gave himself up for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world according to his Father's will. Now, surely we can see at that time once again that man was in no position to pay the price of redemption required by deity. Because most of the world was in sin at that time. When we read the Old Testament, we can understand that. And they were separated from God by their sin. And this is why man needed God's grace through Christ to remove the weight of sin and guilt. We look in the Bible and we can see that God hates sin, and we can understand why. Because it does cause so much problems, suffering in this world. Sin is a very bad thing. It causes so much heartaches. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, folks, when we're teaching others about Jesus Christ, and we all like to do that, we need to let them know why our Lord came to this earth, why he went through all this suffering. Because in Romans 5 and 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Hebrews 2 and 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Yet he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." So by these scriptures and many others that we read about, we can see that only the Son of God was qualified to make the necessary sacrifices for the cleansing of our sins. Yes, this is why Christ came to this world. Christ, by the grace of God, was willing to lay down his life in order to save us. And above all, we need to always remember that our Lord suffered a cruel and very violent death. When we read about his death on the cross and see what he went through, we can be thankful every day that we have a Lord like that. Now, surely we can see that he did it voluntarily. He chose to do this himself. No one made him do it. He went to the cross because of his love for mankind. John 3:16. In fact, in 1 Peter 1 and 19, Peter says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish, he paid the price for sin." So once again, we can see God's love manifested in a practical way in the gospel of our Lord. Once again, we see God's love and his favor working to bring man back to Christ. Now, I would like for us now to look at three of the blessings that we do receive through the grace of God, with particular emphasis on the blood of Jesus Christ. Number one, the scriptures teach us that the blood of Christ provides for the remission of our sins, Hebrews 9:29. Secondly, the blood of Christ provides for us our reconciliation, Romans 5:10. Thirdly, the blood of Christ provides redemption because it is the price that was paid for man's iniquity. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Acts 2:24 that his ministry was what he had received from the Lord. And he also testified that this same gospel of grace does provide for the forgiveness of man's sin. Folks, this is the plan from God himself that he extends to all men everywhere. And this plan from God will continue to forgive the Christian, even when we fall short of God's expectation of us. Now, even though there is so much confusion in our world today about God's grace, I truly believe that being saved by God's grace is explainable. Because in Titus, the second chapter, verse 11, the apostle said here that the grace of God which bringeth salvation, it has appeared to all men. But notice, Paul is not saying that all men will be saved by God's grace. What he's really saying is God's grace provides or makes it possible for man to have salvation if they're willing to obey God's word. So by these scriptures and many, many others, we can see that God's grace and the gospel is often used interchangeably in the Bible. Therefore, we're saved by the gospel and we're also saved by God's grace. Both are necessary for man's salvation. Now in 2 Peter, the third chapter, in verse 18, Peter says that God's grace tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And the gospel teaches us that God's grace is all sufficient for us. That is, the gospel also teaches us all we need to know in order to have favor with God, 2 Corinthians 12:9. In fact, the gospel teaches us what we should do and what we should tell others to do to have salvation. In fact, Paul says that God's grace teaches us what denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, that it will allow us to enjoy a better life while we live on this earth. And it will also give us eternal life when our life is over. God's word teaches us to let God's word be in control of our life. Because in 2 Peter 1:10, Peter says to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now in this same chapter, 2 Peter 5:7, Peter gives some positive instructions that we should live by. Number one, he says, add to your faith virtue. Number two, he says, add to virtue knowledge. Number three, he says, add to knowledge patience. Number four, he says, add to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. Now, 2 Peter 1:20, Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For this prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God as they spoke. We need to remember this verse because there are a lot of people in the world that don't use the scripture like they should. I know when I first came to church, when I was first baptized into Christ, that was one thing that I was impressed with, that the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, goes by the Scriptures instead of opinions. So once again, we see God's grace teaching us by the Scriptures on how we should live our life. But when a Christian is overcome by Satan and sins, he needs to realize that all is not lost, because God knew that man would sin, and he has provided for a way for him to be forgiven. We see that in the Bible, because in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once again, we see God's grace working to bring a man back. Yet some people often ask this question today: just how public should a sin be in order for it to be confessed publicly? Now, we all know that all sins need to be confessed to God if we want to be forgiven. But when a sin is public, we need to admit that sin, and we need to show our brethren that we are truly sorry that we have sinned. And we want to ask not only God to forgive us, but we want to ask the church to forgive us and pray for us that we won't do that again. Because in 1 John 1:17, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Now, folks, this is why it is so important for Christians to let God's word guide us and the kind of lifestyle that we choose to live. And as Christians, we need to have a good influence on others, whether they be in the church or whether they be outside of the church. So once again, we see this undeserved, unmerited favor of God working to bring man's salvation. I want you to listen to these words by the Apostle Paul, found in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul was not boasting about all that he had done himself by his own merit, but he really was giving God the credit for his success and all that he had accomplished here at Corinth. Folks, we need to realize that there are some things that God's grace will not do for man, those who are outside of Christ. It cannot save them without their obedience to God's will. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now we can see that Jesus himself was obedient to his Father, even though he was equal. Because Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the Bible says that when the Lord comes again, he will render a vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the word. Folks, it is sad today that some men do teach that grace only saves. But let me say this kindly: God's grace is a gift to us from God, but it will not save those who refuse to obey the gospel. And grace alone does not mean that God in his judgment will disregard his will or his standard for mankind, because the Bible plainly teaches us that God will save the obedient, he will reject those who will not obey. Now in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many of us are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God." Jesus also said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him." The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, folks, for one to teach that man is not under the law of Christ and his word, the gospel, but only under grace, it is a complete perversion of God's word and also what the apostles taught. I want to review a few things that I've said this morning. So today, I want to go over some of these. Number one, today, we have shown that salvation is conditional. Number two, we have shown that man has a choice. He has a choice in who he will serve. He'll either serve the Lord or he will serve Satan. We have also proved by the scriptures that man has the law of Christ to live by if he wants to be saved. Number four, we have also shown that God's grace will help man find what he needs to do to be a Christian and live a Christian life. Number five, we've also proved by the scriptures that grace alone will not save man. Number six, we have shown that God's grace also helps those who are in Christ to have their sins forgiven when they do sin. Yet the question is often asked today, how can one be saved by grace and also faith? Well, for those who study the Bible, there's no doubt that man is saved of both. And the truth of the matter is grace, faith, love, and acts of obedience, they are all critical, they're crucial in God's plan for saving mankind. So really, summing this up, it's up to each individual to respond to his love in obedience to God's will if they want to be saved. There's one thing we do know. There is a safe way for us to go to heaven. We find that in the Bible. If we live our life for God, if we follow his word, we do know we can have salvation. And we do know that God will not change his law of pardon for any person and for any reason, because his law is the same today as it was in the very beginning of time. Yet sadly today, many people in the religious world teach that baptism is not necessary for one's salvation. And it's really sad to me because Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I really don't see how you can get around that. Also in Acts 2:38, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon to those people who had crucified the Son of God, they realized that they had crucified Christ. And they asked Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Listen to what he said. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He also said in verse 40, "To save yourselves from this untoward generation." You see, we've got something to do. We need to obey God's word. And really, the Apostle Paul made it very clear in Galatians 3:27 when he said, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." Yes, folks, God has done his part for man, but we must do our part in order to have salvation. So let me encourage you today to obey the gospel, because tomorrow may be too late. Now, in my lifetime, and I've been on this earth quite a while, I have known many good moral people who put off obeying the gospel. And I do know many of those people personally who never had that opportunity again. I know that they wish they had done that. So let me appeal to you. Don't let this happen to you. Folks, sin is a very serious matter with God, and we must not take it lightly. Now, the lesson is yours. Now, it is our custom here at Saudi to offer the invitation at each one of our services. Now, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. It also says that we must have faith to please God, Hebrews 11 and 6. It says that one must repent. That means to turn away from the life you're living, Acts 17 and 30. It also says that one must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10 and 22. It also says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16 and 16. This is God's plan for saving mankind. Now, there could be someone here today who was once a faithful child of God, but you've not lived faithfully for him. Only you know why. Or it could be that you're having a very difficult time in your life and you need help from this congregation. You need the prayers of the church to help you. Please know that we will help you in any way that we can. One of our elders will be here with me. So if you need help anyway, won't you come while we stand and sing this invitation?